Greetings. My name is Giovanni Bonilla Martinez, and I will be your interviewer for this session. We are currently located at a friend's apartment in the town of Mayagüez, Puerto Rico. To start off, I want to begin by asking some general questions. First, do I have your permission to record audio for this interview?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. Now, what is your full name?
My full name is Jeandres Rivera Gonzalez.
Can you spell your first name for me?
Y-E-A-N-D-R-E-S.
Where does that name origin from?
So my mother told me that when I was I was in the belly of my mother. She told me that in that era, the trend of names was Giancarlo, Jean Paul, Jean Andres, but she wanted to give it a twist. So she gave it a mix from the name Jean and also the name Andres. And she put those two names together and she called me Giandres.
Okay, that's very interesting. How old are you?
I'm 21 years old.
When were you born?
March 6th of 2000.
Okay. In what town, if you were born in Puerto Rico, were you born and raised?
San Juan, Puerto Rico. I was born there, but I was raised in Toalta, Puerto Rico.
Okay. Where do you currently live?
Right now, I live at Mayagüez, Puerto Rico because of the university, but I still live in Tuerta, Puerto Rico since I was born because my parents live there, so I visit them.
Okay, you already mentioned that due to university, you live in Mayagüez. Mm-hmm. So my follow-up question is, what do you do, as in what do you study and so on?
I'm a student that studies electrical engineering, and currently I'm at my fourth year of my bachelor.
How are you doing in this time of the pandemic and in general with college and everything?
Right now, I think that I'm doing great beside past semesters because currently I have two jobs. One is work study in the university and also have a job aside, but also I'm currently having 12 credits in my in this semester that includes electrical systems analysis 3, systems and signals, and the other course is German and linear algebra.
Okay, thank you for that. Now that we have stated some general information about yourself, I would like to get into our main topic for this interview, which we have discussed before prior to asking to interview you, which is your car accident. My first question relating to this topic is, can you provide the exact date of the accident?
January 6th of 2020 at 9 a.m.
What were your thoughts during that morning?
Well, I have a mixture of thoughts, ideas, reflections, so many things that pops up at my head at that moment, and I can say that I kind of feel blank because everything happened so fast since yesterday, even since that 7 a.m., 8 a.m., 10 minutes prior to the accident, it was so hectic, my mind, at that moment. And after the accident that I survived, thank God, I can say that I have so many things to say, but complicated to show them.
Are you okay?
Right now, yes. During the accident, 1 month later, 2 months later, even a year later, I will say not. But right now, I'm currently great.
Okay. Can you describe your car?
I have a Mazda. I don't remember the name exactly of the model of the car, but I know that it's a Mazda 2006. It's a family car.
That's okay. The name of the car is not important. Maybe just the color, attachment, blue. The use of the car, okay. How old it was.
Yeah, it was from 2006. It's a blue car. I call it Blue Beetle. It also has some accessories that my dad gave me to the car for camping. I had like two camping sets, rack in the hood of the car to move stuff. Yeah, I really like the car. I really have it pretty nice and neat. And also my dad helped me a lot to not only set it up, but also buy it financially.
Okay. I'm gonna ask a question that I should have asked before when I mentioned how did you feel that morning. And it's that we know that during that day, there were earthquakes during the morning. Mm-hmm. How did you feel during the earthquakes, during and after you experienced them?
So I was sleeping when the earthquakes happened, and also I have my mind scrambled the day before. So receiving that, the earthquakes, it was so shocking to me because that was the least thing I expected from that day in El Diablo Reyes Mago, Trickings Day, thinking that it's gonna be like a great day, or also like trying to like continue from a bad thing that happened the day before. So having that, receiving that earthquake, it put me frightened, put me frenetic. I rushed out of my apartment because I live in a third floor, so everything shake very bad. And also, it was the same day I wanted to see my family because of the Trickings Day. So, yeah, I feel that I rushed out without realizing that even if I clean my mouth or like take a shower quickly or like the simplest thing, I just ran out of my apartment.
Yeah, I understand. You mentioned that you were also startled in a way from the day before. What happened the day before?
So the day before, January 5th, is also the festival, Víspera de los Reyes Magos, in Juana Díaz, in the south part of Puerto Rico. I was there with my family because they were also celebrating at that festival. And also I visit them because I haven't seen them in a while, because prior to those dates, I was like at my own, doing my own stuff, trying to be independent, trying to get my own job. That I was going to have an interview, a job interview at Chili's in Mayagüez on January 7th. So I was also studying for the exam, for the interview, like preparing myself to get a job. So I also was like excited and have the emotions about that. And also in the winter vacation, in Christmas, I was spending a lot of time with my aunt, part of my dad family, and not necessarily with my own family, with my parents. So when I visit them, I stay with them. What about we just drink a little and eat some food? But I wanted to rush out because I left up some stuff at my apartment that I really needed to get them. Not necessarily like to travel, to move them to my house. It's that I really need them because of the job interview, because I'm gonna like do stuff on my own. So I really need to rush, go back to my apartment to get those stuff. And it was like it was like 8 p.m. So I wanted to like leave early from the festival, and my dad wasn't loving the idea and he was in denial. So he said to me no to go, but I insisted because I really needed to do it, because like I cannot leave that important paper, that repaso. I couldn't leave it to, because I needed to study for the interview. So my dad, he was getting cranky because he likes to drink a lot, and he also like get, he's kind of like an alcoholic. So he was getting drunk at that day, and he raised his tone to me saying that I won't drive back to my apartment and I will stay with him and going back to home for Three Kings Day. And I didn't like them, so I asked for my uncle that he has a house nearby in the festival that was my car parked there. So my uncle was in favor for my dad's side of the decision of me leaving. So after that, my dad started yelling at me and insulting me some bizarre stuff in front of people while drunk, that I will not leave, that I will stay together as a family. Seeing like a, he's also like, he tried to say that if it's like he was in the right, or like he was trying to like save the family because I will stay with him. And also that was so wrong because it felt me so uncomfortable. I feel insulted in front of everyone, embarrassed. So at that moment I just ran and went from the house for my uncle and stayed there crying. And 1.5 hours later, 2 hours later, they arrived and my dad was more calm, and there was like also my grandma and my mom and my uncle. And they say, oh, you can go, whatever, you can go to your apartment, but you need to stay there and not travel at the midnight to your home in Tualta. And I really wanted to do that because I'm not more like a night person, so I can like drive at night. I'm not so much a morning person. So, but I listened to them because to please them, because of that shenanigans and outrage that my dad caused. So I leave there at 10 p.m. and I arrive around 12 a.m. 12 of the morning at my apartment, and I fall asleep. So when I wake up at January 6th, I was thinking all the situation of the day before that I have fight with my parent, because I think that he fight because I haven't stayed with him in a while and I was trying to do my things at my own, and I think that he doesn't like that because he's like a person that likes to manipulate or control one a lot, asking a lot of favors, a lot of favors, and not stopping with them and thinking that everything's gonna be all right because I want to do my own things. Like he thinks that I have every time for him, and it's like, it's not like that. I'm studying, I'm starting to work, I need to be independent like he is, but he doesn't seem like that. So when I woke up at the earthquakes, yeah, I was thinking all that bad things the day before, and the earthquakes really put me mad. I was also sleepy because I was, I sleep at 12 a.m. And well, when I started driving to go to my home at Tualta, I ran so quick because of the earthquake, because of the situation, and it really put me very upset at that day.
Okay. You mentioned that your father helped you get some things for your car, and you also mentioned that he spoke some bizarre comments towards, directed at you during the party. Would you emphasize on that? Would you comment on what those bizarre comments were and try to describe what you consider is your relationship with your father? Is it a good relationship? Is it bad? Did he help you with your car because he wanted to, or because he had to because you're his kid?
Well, he helped me to get my car, and I think because he had to, because I'm his kid, and not necessarily because I wanted to, because I raised my own money to buy my own car. I have like around $2,500 US dollars, but he wanted to put the same amount that I have to buy a good-looking car. And I didn't want that because I was pleased to have a normal or used cheap car. But he wanted to give that extra amount because he thinks that I'm his, let's say, daddy's perfect son, whatever, because I studied electrical engineering. My brother is a dropout. My sister studies microbiology. She's studying for to be a nurse. So my dad has a dream to be an electrical engineer. He's like a electrician, but he's not an engineer. So he seems to me like a prized possession. So if I can ask him something that I really need, or that I really need, he'll help me. But he will like also take advantage of me for doing so.
Oh, like want something in return.
Exactly. Company or
a favor.
It's more likely labor work.
Okay.
Because he also like, he has a job in called Pfizer. He's the electrician of the machine that operates the refills of the prescribed medicines. But also he has two side jobs that are garage door repairman and installation, and AC, that is air conditioning installation and repairman. So he also had a dream to like have his own company, but his brother didn't want to help them to have his own AC and garage door company. So he always used me and my brother to help him to do those side jobs. But he's a very workaholic man, so he always wanted to have the perfect job with a perfect timing, with a perfect stuff. If you do one mistake, he will yell at you, he will insult you, and he say that it's you're wrong. But if he makes a mistake, all is good, all is clear. So the work continues, and sometimes even though that he's wrong in the small detail, like the wrong screw for the garage door, or the cables are put wrong, or I couldn't give him the tape because I was doing something else, he always tried to blame someone and not blame himself. And since I remember from my memory, he didn't do that a lot, but time passed on and he started to like blame more to others than himself. Seem like he's always right. So my relationship with my dad that caused those nasty comments, he tries to manipulate me and control me, looking that I'm wrong and he's right, and I need to do what he says.
And those comments originated because you didn't want to do what he told you to do?
Yeah, because I wanted to leave early to do my own stuff, to prepare my job interview. And he wanted to leave everyone together to back to home for Tricking's Day, but I didn't want to. I wanted to go at my own pace. I wanted to do my own stuff. And he got pissed and he sold me all of that.
But were the comments only related to what you wanted to do, or were they more personal in a sense? Were they directed at a specific detail about yourself?
If I can say personal, I wouldn't say that, because I was also like trying to avoid my father this vacation. I was spending more time with my aunt, so he really get pissed for not contacting him, for not talking with him, for not being present so much with him this vacation. So I think that those comments he threw to me, that were, you're staying here right now, you're gonna do what I say, I don't care if you had an interview, we're leaving right now. No, sorry, we're staying right now, we live together, in a very nasty way. I think it was because he was missing me, because he wanted to use me, or I don't know. He wanted to be there, but in a wrong way.
Does he usually yell at you when he gets drunk?
Not even drunk. He always yells like drunk and not drunk. But when he gets drunk, he always throws those subtle comments that always throws you off. Because there are comments that are being just hurtful, like being, oh, you don't understand what I say. Oh, you're always being so stupid. Oh, nobody understands what I said. You need to do it this way because this is my house and like you should do it this way. Or also, he's a very cranky man. Like if he doesn't eat anything, he always like start fighting for everything and blames you for everything. Like I was studying on my own and he blames that there's no food in the house. Man, you have your own money. You can buy your food for yourself in a fast food or try to learn to cook. Try to do stuff to yourself. He always wants to do people to do stuff for him and that's time consuming because he doesn't say thank you. He doesn't say please. He always says do it now or I will get angry or cranky or I will insult you.
Did these arguments with your father start once you left for college or were they present before?
Oh, since I was born. Like, they were always. because when I was a kid, it was always to do stuff that my dad likes. Especially riding mountain bikes, BMX. It was a competition that before was kind of underground. That it was bikes that you can ride in the 4x4 tracks, terrain. He was his passion. He's a very passionate man about bicycles, cycling. And me and my brother and my sister didn't like that. So he forced my brother to do it. And it was a bad experience because everyone was kind of sad, mad every time we go out on a Sunday riding bicycles. Because he's always forced it and not always asked for it. Or ask for it in a nice or kind way. Year passed by, he thinks that I'm straight and he thinks that I'm his perfect son because I'm more kindly intrigued to technology and electricity and he's an electrician. So he seemed that way that I should like go to the colegio, UPRM, to study electrical engineering to fulfill his dream. And honestly, I think that it's still my dream, not his dream, because I was a fan of the electricity, electrical engineering, because I always like light shows, renewable energy, and not to please him. And I think that he seems that way, that he's gonna be proud that I'm studying electrical engineering. Because when my brother studied microbiology and also psychology, he didn't mention that he's studying. Like, he also mentioned like, oh, he's doing his own thing. But when he talks about me, oh, my son, Yandres, is studying electrical engineering in el colegio. He's in his second year. He always like, give that extra talk to me instead of my brother or my sister are still doing their hard work. So I feel that pressure on. So he was so proud telling him that I was going to electrical engineering. And at 12th grade, that I know that I was going to colegio. And I knew that things happens in the university. One explores his own sexuality, his own identity, his own mental issues and also outside issues, social issues. I knew that I needed to came out to my parents, especially to my dad, because my dad is very homophobic. Well, I will not say homophobic. I will say very conservative. He's very conservative. I don't know how to say the word in English, but I will say machista. So when I told him the news, he get outraged so badly that he throws stuff around the house. He has his own car with the garage doors and the AC. He literally grabbed it and shaked it and yelled, "Why that my son is gay?" to all the neighbors. And then he obligated me to tell my sister that I was gay, but she knew before him because I always have a good connection with my sister, so it was like cool with it. So he really got, I think that he really got mad because everybody knew except him, because I never had the confidence or the genuine connection to trust him to tell him, because I knew he was gonna get upset. I was gonna get mad because he put me like in a pillar, and seeing that he thinks like it's like a downfall, and he acted like if I was like a downfall. So after he shaked the car, he threw stuff around the garage room. He got drunk, so drunk he drank a bottle of wine of my mother. And he passed out at the living room of my house and started bawling there. And I was felt so disgusted that he insulted me, yelled at me, telling, like, I came out to him and he told it to all the neighbors, putting me in a tough position, looking like I was being abused. And it was very difficult to me to see him then getting drunk for no reason, then being passed out like there. So me and my mom carrying him, taking him to the shower. We stripped him clothes up because I was still puking, and we laid him there with the shower running, puking and stuff, because he did that. And we're not going to, well, he's my dad, so I still love him, and I tried to save him that moment, but I leave him with those shame on, because it was so disgusting the way he treated me, and also yelling to my mother, because he yelled to my mother like to stay back, like looking like if I was like a danger or in a conversation that she doesn't to belong, she doesn't need to belong there. It was a horrible experience. Well, after that day, my father didn't even talk to me for 2 weeks. He almost even didn't come to the house. Like, he works at 5 a.m. of since through Monday to Saturday, but he always arrives at from 2 p.m. till 4 p.m. But since that moment, those 2 weeks, he always arrived at 7 p.m., 8 p.m., almost 9 p.m., and he arrived to sleep to avoid me because, yeah, I lived there. So yeah, it was a pretty difficult experience because he didn't, I don't know if like he tried to avoid me because he was mad at me. I think, well, he was mad at me, but I don't think it was like if he was ashamed of it or mad at me, he didn't want to like throw a punch or do something. But after those 2 weeks, he said to me, "I don't like those stuff and I don't believe it, but I respect it." And still, he tried to cope with it or to live with it. But I think that it's still, like, he doesn't like accept me at all. So that was like from 12th grade until this day. Things are better, but not perfect. I think that they're the same, and also got affected even worse because of the car accident, because he put me in the pillar for studying electrical engineering, and then after that car accident, it was like a setback for him, because he didn't worry about my life. He worried about more of the money spent in the car, that the car was a total waste, because the way that I lost my car, the car accident, is that I was exceeding the velocity of the vehicle in el túnel de Oaxaca. But
if I may, a little side note, if you feel like you're stuck and you need to say something in Spanish, you can. I'm the interviewer, but you're the narrator. This is your story. You can say things however you want.
Thank you. So, when I was saying that the car accident occurred in El Túnel Oaxaca at Isabela at 9 a.m. And it happened because I was exceeding the velocity of the car, and I wasn't like paying attention of that because I was in my head thinking about the insult of my dad, the earthquake, trying to arrive at home quickly as possible because of the Día de los Reyes Magos. So it also rained that there, so in the hill of that street, the car got stunk, or the wheel of the car
got stuck.
It got stuck, and I couldn't like move at anything, and I was like slipping from right to left.
How did you feel in that moment?
I was scared, but it was so quick that I couldn't even say that I was scared. I was shocked. Mostly I was shocked. But it all happened like in a second since the wheel got stuck. And a second later, I was like upside down from the car accident. And it happened because of giving those spins of the slippery street of my car. I give a 360 that I end up chocando con un poste de Telefónica. And the car gave a 180 turn, and I end up eyes up down, and the crystal of the windshield of the car, the part of the front of the car, blasted and shattered through my face. And I end up having pulverized crystals all over my head, my head, my face, even my throat, my eyes. So I was like in shock at that moment because I didn't know if I know that I could move, but I didn't know if I should move. Because of a head injury, because the accident was in the left side of the car that I was driving there. So it was like at my door. So I was like upside down. And after, I would say 10 to 30 seconds, I realized that I was like upside down. And then I started screaming, help, help, somebody help. And I also couldn't get down because I was like hanging out the seatbelt. And it was, thank God that two school buses were going to San Juan for a festival of Día de los Reyes Magos, and they were having a lot of children, and in that bus, they had two nurses that helped me to get out of the car and also clean my ass. So because of her, I will say that they saved my vision, my eyes, and I'm also pretty grateful for that. Then the police came, they checked me if I was in drug or was in something, and I did say no, I was all right. I could answer great, but still I was in shock because of the car accident and thinking about how my dad was gonna see me. So they rushed me out to the hospital, do me the MRI scan to see if I have any internal bleeding or any problem. And all came out great, but still I was held in the hospital. So my aunt that is, I could say my second aunt, because she's really the aunt of my father, the sister of my grandma, not necessarily my aunt, but also her aunt. So She rushed out to the hospital to see me and cry, help me out, to see if I was okay, and all. I felt such at peace having her there. And it was weird because she's not, I haven't had so much time with my aunt compared to my parents, and having those little time, this vacation with my aunt, I felt so great, and she helped me to retain that fear that my father came to the hospital. And when he came with a hangover from the day before of the Vipero Reyes Mago that he jabbed me, taking some kind of meds to take out his hangover. I don't know if it was aspirin or what, but he looked like he was so messed up. And he rushed there to the hospital. And again, he started yelling instead of saying that if I was okay.
Were you okay? Did you suffer any major injuries?
Well, the only major injury is that I have like problems with my vision. Like my eyes irritates a lot. So, and also my glasses, I have to like, since then, I changed the prescription like 3 times since 2020. And still decaying, and now I use like 3 types of medicine for my eyes. But besides that, I'm okay.
No dislocated shoulder, knee.
The only physical damage is for the my eyeballs, but after that, nothing else. Only my mental health, and. Yeah, so...
And how was the experience with your father after he arrived at the hospital? Horrible. Compared with your aunt?
Oh, comparing with my aunt, it was totally different because my aunt was caring, helpful, loving. She tried to be calm that everything's okay. Like, fuck the car. We don't need that. It's only material. But my dad was very materialistic, caring about the car, not necessary for me, insulting me, saying that why did I incur the accident, knowing that I cannot, like, yes, I could control the speed velocity of the car, but I couldn't control the maneuver when it got stuck, and also with a slippery wet. So it was shocking for me, like giving me a lot of excuses, insulting for not being great, and trying to like avoid that moment. It was very triggering for me.
You said that you could have controlled the speed limit at which you were driving.
I could control it, but I didn't control it because I was thinking all over my head.
No, it's okay. I understand. But as I was going to say, you could have controlled that, but you weren't in a right place. You were thinking about the earthquake. You were thinking about the day before with your father and the argument.
And the job interview of the
all of those things where you were thinking about them. Maybe you weren't thinking straight. You were just thinking about what you were going to do.
I felt that I wasn't driving. I was trying to arrive as fast as possible.
You felt numb.
I wouldn't say numb because I was...
Did you feel like you were blank?
I was seeing myself in a future. I will say like that. Because if I will say I felt numb, it's like going straight ahead to the walls, going straight ahead to electrical poles. It wasn't like that.
That's not what I meant by numb. By numb, I meant like... You weren't focused on the road. You were just focused on your mind. You were lost in your thoughts.
Yes, I was focused on my mind, lost in the day before, trying to see myself in the future, thinking of that job interview, thinking how can I overpass that bad thing with my parent, with my dad. So, yeah. I wasn't thinking of driving. I was trying to think what to do next.
Yeah, so in a sense, you were kind of overwhelmed.
Yes, I was very overwhelmed and not paying attention to my surroundings.
So would you say that the discussion with your father the day before and the influence of the earthquake during the morning had a big impact in
your accident? Yes, I had a big impact. And the sad thing is that my dad is in denial of that. And I don't want...
You talked about it with him? You told him how you
so
felt in the moment?
So many times. And it doesn't work, and he still blames it on me. And I know that I could control the gas pedal, but he doesn't understand that I was struggling with that embarrassment, feeling like I was...
You felt humiliated the day before?
I felt worthless that day before. The way he treated me, I felt manipulated. So, yeah, I will say that because of that, mostly according to my car, and even though that today is 2022, that was 2 years ago, and I also still think about that, still think about that moment, still haunts me, and even for the smallest details or mini fights with my father, that memory came back to me, triggered me, like...
It always comes back to you.
Yeah, and it's like, you know that you caused this moment, and I cannot, like, live without it because it haunts me, and I say that I just please ask you for the bare minimum, like, to treat me well or be different to me or being kind to me. And as a great person he is, he doesn't do it, and he still put his finger in the wound.
So would you say that...
Because he doesn't see that it was a wound.
So would you say that if there would have been no discussion prior to the accident with your father, there would have been no accident?
I will say...
Would have that been a possibility?
I will even say that if I haven't had that discussion the day before, I'll say that today it will be a totally different Yandres.
In what sense?
As in not having PTSD from that car accident, not having more fear issues to my to my dad. I will be maybe visiting more to my parents instead of not visiting them. I will even say even more not loving to them, even more like self-love or like self-confidence, because after that I felt that my confidence went down.
You say them. Are you including your mother in this topic
as
well?
Yeah, because, like, they're, like, cat and dad, they're together every time. So, every time that I see my mother, my dad's there. Every time I see my dad, my mom's there. There's, like, no alone time with my mother. And if there is that when my dad works and my mom is at home. So, that's the only time that I can bond with her. And I always love my mom. My mom's always supportive of me. But
so she doesn't feel the same way
as
your dad?
No. She's totally different from my dad. She's very loving. She's very caring. She's very helpful, thoughtful. And my dad is totally opposite. And my mom always have a catchphrase, a message. She always says to survive the day they made outrage that my parents died. Is that, I will say it in Spanish because the phrase in Spanish, el loco es loco hablando solo.
I have never heard that in my life, but would you care to emphasize on it?
Sorry, I said it wrong.
Oh.
El loco se queda peleando solo. Something like that. is that my mom seems like my dad is crazy because of the mini outrage that blames everyone for any reason. Even though sometimes he has the blame or the guilt, and he also still blames to others. So my mom tends to not give him too much attention because that fuels him.
She doesn't give him the benefit of the doubt. She just...
Exactly.
She thinks for her own. She's always with him, but she's always with her own thoughts.
Exactly. Except for major decisions, such as buying a car, or having to go to Mayagüez.
Your father's always in charge for those decisions?
Financial issues, yes. Moral issues, I think that she's always there to, like...
Take charge.
But sometimes my dad outrages so much that his excuses, I am the man of the house, I have the money of the house, I can do whatever I want to do. So... that's like a shocking factor between me, my mom, my family. It's like everyone against my dad.
Would you say your siblings feel that way as well?
I would say the same or even worse. So my sister wanted to go to Texas to study nurse, to be a nurse there. And also I have an aunt that lives in Texas, and my aunt did everything possible to do so, and my dad didn't let her go. Even though my aunt and sister got some scholarships for her, transportation, hospitality with my aunt, so everything's gonna be set. But my sister, she's a very introvert person. She doesn't talk a lot. She's always like being at her own self in her room, her alone. And she doesn't even talk with my father even for days. So for that reason, that my sister doesn't talk with my father, my dad said no, because she doesn't talk with my father. My sister doesn't like my father. For that reason only, my dad denied, fight, cry, insulted my sister to not go to Texas to have her own dream. But I know that it would be so different if my sister said that I was going to study mechanical engineering or whatever engineering in any place of the world, because it's something that he likes.
So he only lets you guys do something as long as he likes it?
Exactly.
And how do you feel about that?
So, most things hateful. But for me, it's more shocking because I really do like electrical engineering. I think that is my passion. And I found it horrible because he tried to influence me, like if he's like the product of having that decision. And I know that he influenced me, but I'm trying to do it for myself, not to please him. And also he mentions to me that you don't need to study that because I obligated you. But other times he like praised me a lot and looks like he's obligating me. So he's telling you one thing, he's telling you another thing, and then he blames on you. So it's crazy.
What do you say is the thing you treasure the most from your experience after your accident? As in a way, what did you learn that day that you have put in practice every day of your life ever since your accident?
Writing means that I love myself, that there's more to life, that the car doesn't define me, and after that I still do things on my own without the car. Also, going to therapy helps a lot, and I recommend it because it gives you another perspective of even the small big problems that one has. And also it will help you to not dissociate with life, and also stay in a manipulated state with your parents in a bad ambient. So saying that if you love yourself, find help, or like try to do, like always trying to do the next thing that you like and feel comfortable, always help me to not think about that moment and not staying stuck at that car accident if like I was dead.
Have you ever thought about that? What everyone around you would have been like today if you would have passed away the day of your accident?
Well, yeah, the moment of the accident, because it was like recently, but after 1 month, I will say not. So, because I know that...
No, what I meant is, have you thought about what others, people's lives, like the people around you, especially your father, what his life would have been like if you passed away, if you died?
Nope.
In your car accident? You haven't thought about that?
Nope, and I don't And I don't wish to think about that, and also I don't encourage to do that. I encourage to think, if I'm still alive, what I can do now and what I can do next that I want, not to do that.
That is very
and
good.
For now, I'm thinking to fix my relationship with my father or to cut it, even though that is intoxicating.
It's a toxic relationship?
Yep.
How do you feel?
Right now?
Yeah.
Honestly, great. Feel great to like let all things out. Mostly, I know that I'm doing it with a friend, but I also speak this with my psychologist. But it always feels nice to speak out and not always to like get those things inside of my head. Because one can get confused very quickly and think so many things if one stays shut.
Do you currently own a car after your accident? Have you thought about getting another car?
Yes, I'm starting to raise some money to get a car. So probably at this summer I will get my own car. And also, after the car accident, my dad had he broke an ankle. So he couldn't walk for 4 weeks. And after that accident of his, he obligated me to drive him around to the medical, to the doctor's office to do anything. And he yelled at me every time that I drove him that like, I don't even drive great, or that's why that you have your own car accident. And it's like, man, you teach me like this. If you want to like, I can drive better, like, I don't know, give me like tips that I can help me, not being insulting and being pushy and hitting the nerve of someone. So
you don't want him to be a jackass?
Yeah, that's the thing. I love driving, and I always loved that. I always loved to go camping, driving everywhere. It's always insulting being a jackass, stupid asshole.
You mentioned that the accident caused you to have some type of PTSD.
Yeah.
Is that a reason why you haven't gotten a car, or has it made it difficult for you to drive?
I wouldn't say that it's difficult for me driving, because I drive with my mother, with my sister, with my brother, and even my father.
Have you driven alone?
Yes, I've driven alone. And I drive fine, and I always like play music and be shit on my own. It gave me PTSD every time that I think of my father being that toxic man in my life that always affect me mentally in my own decision of trying to be independent. And that's why. So yeah, maybe that decision of having a car, whatever, affects me. Not necessarily because I have fear of driving. It's that I have fear of being independent, because I feel that he's gonna control me and retain me for the rest of my life.
How do you feel that you can fix that? If it's a question that you can answer, if you've given it some thought before.
How do I feel that I can fix...
fix your trying to become independent without having to acknowledge
confusing.
Your father?
Very confusing. Because trying to fix that is a move for independence, for deal stuff on my own, try to get my own help, not depending him, and happened that traumatic situation, and even from childhood, he always helped me in a way or another, because still my father, so he raised me. So I will say,
yeah, and I can think that cutting off a family member, especially a parent, must be very difficult.
Yeah,
especially to think about doing so.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I'm trying to cut off, but deep down, I know that I don't want to cut off, because it's still my family, and even they do right or wrong, I'm still gonna love him. But yeah, it's confusing, but I think that it's going for the greater good.
Would you want to erase the fact that you had a car accident from your life? As in, if you could, let's say, the Matrix, take a pill, either have your car accident and be where you are right now with the people that are around you, or the other one, erasing the car accident and having a totally different life, something totally unrelated to what you currently have.
I will say that the car accident is an excuse to think about those traumatic experiences, but I will say that if I take any pill, it wasn't for erase the car accident. I will say to erase every hateful comment that my dad says from the beginning. I was know him and heard of him having those nasty comments through me and my family.
So in a sense, you would take the metaphor that I'm trying to bring into this. You would take a pill to erase your father's
ignorance mentality.
Yeah, something like that. You would take the pill to erase him from every situation that's made you uncomfortable in your life. To erase his perspectives.
Yeah, I will say erase his perspective.
So you would say that you'd be a lot happier without your father's influence on your life?
At the moment, yes.
Is that a hard yes? As in a definite yes?
Well, it still shocked me because he's still my father and I still love him though. But I also wish that if I try to talk with him and resonate with him even now or even in the future, he's still the same all ignorant bastard. So yeah, if I had that option, I would prefer that.
I see. We're running a little short on time, but I want to ask you one last question. Can you describe yourself? I want you to describe yourself, how you see yourself, what type of person you are, and things like that.
I will say a very outgoing person that likes to meet new people, share my experience. If I can help, I would like to help at any way, shape, or another. And also, I don't see like trying to receive something back, because I know that if I do it, it's like from the heart, and it's because I really love the person to help anyone. So, and yeah, so I also like see myself doing studying electrical engineering, working in any renewable energy company, because I would like to contribute my knowledge, my love, and my help to the world, to the society. And that's the way I can see it.
That is very thoughtful. You mentioned, as I was asking questions, that your father is very pushy, and when he does or asks for things, he expects something in exchange.
I don't expect nothing.
Or the other way around, when you ask him for something, he expects something in exchange, and you said something totally different. You don't need something in exchange.
No, I don't need it.
Therefore, you're not your father's son. You're not your father. How do you feel about that? Even though you've lived with him your whole life, you're not an image of your father.
I think that's good, because
it's amazing, given the description of your father.
Yeah, it teaches me, like, if you don't like, it's like the don't do what you don't like to do to yourself, as in you don't want to get bullied, so don't bully another person. So I think that's a very valuable lesson to apply at anything. So there's so many flaws that my dad had, and I really know them to not do so in the future.
I see. Well, that would have been my last question for today. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
Keep going on, even though if there's a rainy day, dark days ahead of you, there's always a next day to do more. And try to think about that the next day. There's always more to do. Don't lose your hope.
Thank you so much for your time, Gianres. Will you give permission for the story to be shared?
Yes.
Additionally,
Will I be able to ask you follow-up questions to clear any doubts, if any arise?
Yeah, I got no problem with that.
Thank you. Again, thank you so much for allowing me to interview you and sharing your story.
Thank you.